fire. Yeah, yes. Anybody here believe God? Come on, does anybody here believe God? He did it for others, and he'll do it again. Do you believe that? Praise God. Praise God. Youth choir, don't go far. We'll use you again at the altar service. We'll do that again. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Clap your hands, lift your voice, make a little noise in the house. God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Well, we want to praise God. One went down in the water in Jesus' name this morning. We want to give God praise and thanks. Hallelujah. And it's a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. So, 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we're going to get on into this. They've been singing all over this tonight. It's a theme. There's a movement in the Holy Ghost here. And 2 Samuel 7:25. Now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant, concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. Somebody say, now God, do what you've said. Now God, I didn't say it, and my friend didn't say it, but you, the God of all creation, you said it. And you said it about me. This is King David, and King David is just saying, now God, I want you to do what you said you were going to do. And in this, we're going to learn something about how to approach God for the miraculous. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give God praise and thanks for his word tonight. Hallelujah. We give you praise and we thank. Praise God. I thank God for the praise group and all that goes into that, and the media team and all the ministries that are going on in the church during the course of the week. God is doing some excellent things. We are having great church again. COVID didn't stop the church or hurt the church, but we're going to have better revival than we've ever had before. I'm just telling you, we're going to be better post-COVID than we were before. Somebody that believes that ought to give God a little shout right now. So the context from this morning was the fact that David was talking to God about building him a house. And God answered him and said, well, David, you can't build me a house, but I'm going to make you a house. I'm going to make you the house. And David was talking about a house of cedar, but God said, you can't build me a house. I'm too big. I range too far. I'm not bounded by all these natural defining things like you are. And so you can't. Where are you going to put my tent? Where are you going to put my house? And how would you ever house God? So David doesn't get to participate in the house of God like the temple of Solomon, but he does begin the lineage that will be the Christ or the house of God in terms of the man Christ Jesus, who was the bloodline of David, and he is the temple. The Jews are talking to Jesus in John chapter 2, and they say, because he had just cleared out the temple, he just beat up everybody and kicked over their money tables and their let their animals loose and really turned the place into mayhem. And they just wanted to know, what authority do you have? And he, give us a sign and we can believe you about this. What sign showest thou to us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And the Jews think he's nuts because it was 46 years in the building. But John gives us the heart of it. He spake of the temple of his body, and his body was of the lineage of David, and ultimately he's going to sit upon the throne of David, and that's the promise of God, that God was working in the man David. And so Jesus is the body of God, but he's the house of God, and he's the prototype of the New Testament believer, because now God is putting his spirit and his kingdom in all of his people. And so through the through the Christ, David is instrumental in giving rise to the church and the body of Christ, the house of God. And so our text here is when God makes this great promise. He said, David, I'm going to make your kingdom established forever, and I'm going to build you a house, and you're going to raise up someone out of your body, and their kingdom is never going to end. And obviously, he's talking about the Christ. And so David is just, he's amazed by what God has told him. This is really, really a huge promise. This is fantastic. This is beyond his natural life. This is beyond his expectations. He started the conversation thinking he was going to build God a house of cedar, and now God has said, I'm going to establish your kingdom forever. And so David went in, and this is our text. David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Now, David is great, and David is a giant killer, and David is the consolidator of the scattered nation of Israel, and David has done all sorts of monumental things in a nation that was scattered and weakened and troubled. And now he's brought them all together, and he's defeated all of their enemies, and now God is talking to him. And David is great. He's far greater in his reach and his anointing than Saul ever was. But David is humble, and so we're learning something here. When God makes you a great promise, the first response needs to be humility. Humility will go a long way in all your relationships, but it'll go a long way in your relationship with God. Stay humble. Get all the wisdom you can get, but stay humble. Make all the money you can make, but stay humble. Walk in all the anointing you can walk in, but stay humble. Stay small in your own sight. We learn it from Moses, the meekest man that ever lived. But in this, we learn it in terms of a proper response to God regarding promise. When David receives this promise from God, David is immediately humble. And he sits before God and he says, what is my house? Who am I, O Lord, that thou hast brought me hitherto? How is it, O God, that I am receiving this promise from you? Now, we want to employ this. We're going to do a little workshop tonight. We really are. And we're going to employ this. But I want you to think about a promise that God has made you. And maybe you're standing. Maybe you're living a promise right now. Anybody seeing the promise of God unfold in your life right now? And you're really pretty jazzed about it. You're pretty excited about it. And God is doing more wonderful things than you ever thought you'd see in your life. Is anybody living a life that is far beyond what you thought you would live, and God is being good to you, and God is blessing you? Oh, you ought to give God some praise right now and magnify him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has God blessed you? Well, you see, now this is where Israel fails continually. God blesses Israel, and Israel gets haughty. God blesses Israel, and Israel gets independent. God blesses Israel, and Israel forgets God. But if you're standing in the middle of the blessing of God right now, you need to lift up your hands and your voice, and you need to say, God, you've been so good to me. Who am I? What is my house that you have blessed me so? God, who am I that you are pouring out your kingdom on me and blessing me like this and making... No, really, you ought to be doing that right now. You ought to have your hands up and your voice lifted, and you ought to be saying, God, I don't know what you see in me. God, I'm not worthy, and I'm not righteous, and I'm not the one, oh God, but you've given it to me, and I'm going to praise you for it. I'm not going to sit around and say, well, I can't have the promise of God, because listen, God made the promise, and I'm going to capitalize on it. Somebody say amen. And so here comes David, and here he opens up to us, and he's talking to God concerning the promise of God, concerning what God has said. And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while. I guess so. He said it's going to be everlasting. Talking about the kingdom of the Christ to come, and Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. He said, I'm not arguing with you, God. I see what you say, and it's amazing to me. But I'm not going to argue with you because you're the boss. You're God. You made everything. And what can David say more unto you? For you know your servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. And I know, God, you're working because this is your word, and you're always going to stand by your word. And this is so your name will be great. And you, God, you've done all these great things according to your heart. Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God, and there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we've heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people unto himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemed to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And he's just rehearsing the promise of God for Israel. And he's rehearsing some of the greatness of God regarding this people that God has cobbled together out of Abraham and Sarah and out of this Middle Eastern scenario. And all these things being said, now he's going to get to where he was going. And now, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning thy servant, concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. He starts with humility, and then he praises God for God's greatness and all that he's done for him and all that he's done for Israel. And then he pulls up to the promise and he says, now, God, that thing that you said concerning your servant and his house, do it. Establish it forever. And do as thou hast said. Now we're learning something here about how to approach God regarding his promise. Because God said it. And God is great. And God is wise. And God never makes mistakes. And God knows what he's doing. And if God said it, and he said it about you, then you need to stand up in the middle of it. And you don't need to let your insecurity whisper to you. And you don't need to let the devil whisper to you. And you don't need to let your neighbor whisper to you. But you need to stand up in the middle of the promise of God and say, now, God, it's not because of me. And God, I know it's because of your word, and I know you're good. But God, you said it. Now do the thing that you've said concerning your servant. He said, do as thou hast said. Let thy name be magnified forever. Get glory in it. The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. Now, I don't mean to be presumptuous, Lord, but you said it. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, has revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And because you said it, do it. God, I'm praying this tonight because you said it. I'm praying this tonight because I'm taking it up out of the word of God. I'm lifting your word back to you tonight. I'm not looking at my circumstances. I'm not looking at the enemy. I'm not looking at my limitations. I'm not looking at all the things that might say otherwise. I'm just lifting up the promise of the word out of the pages of the holy book, and I'm lifting it up to God because I believe that God is saying it and God is able to do it. And God is willing to do it, or he never would have made the promise. God's looking for somebody to stand up in the promise of God and lay hold of it, lay claim to it. And then he says, God, your word is true, and you've promised. Verse 28, and now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Work your good pleasure. Therefore, now let it please thee. I want you to do what makes you happy, God. I want you to do what pleases you. You know, sometimes you wonder about how can heaven notice you, or what's the agenda of heaven, and what is God looking at? And I know what the world is looking at, and all the politico types and all of the nations and the military industrial complex and all of those. I know what they're looking at, but what is heaven looking at? And when he's asked about it, Jesus gives him that 15th chapter of Luke, and he talks about lost things, and he says, I want you to know where God is looking. I want you to know where God's value system is. I want you to know what really touches God's heart and what makes God happy. And he tells him the story of the lost sheep. And he says the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes out into the wilderness and finds the one. And when he finds it, he rejoices. That's what makes God rejoice. And when he gets it back, the angels of God rejoice. That's what makes heaven rejoice. Don't let anybody or anything tell you that God's not concerned about you. God will leave everything he's doing and go looking for one sinner that needs to repent. Somebody say praise God. Are you glad he came looking for you? Are you glad he redeemed you? Are you glad that he found you? Are you glad that heaven rejoiced when you came home? And he told about the lost coin, and he told about the lost son, and it's the same theme in all of them. So you need to know where God's value and his attention is. And so what pleases God here is key in this conversation with David. And therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant. God, you made me a promise. Now I want you to take pleasure in pulling the trigger on that promise. God, now you made a promise. Now I want you to get happy over watching that promise come into fulfillment in my life. Let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee, O Lord. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. God made a promise, and David expresses wonder and humility, and then he recites the promise, and then he says, and do it, God. Do the thing that you've said. So we really need to, at some point, utilize this prayer of David as a pattern for the way that we approach the things of God, and understand first you need to find the promise of God in the Word of God. You need to get yourself into the book and you need to find a promise. You've got a problem right now that you need an answer for, and I'll tell you, God has an answer. Can somebody say amen? I want you to understand God has an answer for your problem right now. The thing that you need, God is the answer. If you're sick, he's a healer. If you're in need, he's a provider. If you're jammed up, he's a way maker. If you're up against it, he's a mountain moving God. If you're like Moses and the children, he can open up the Red Sea and let you through. I'm telling you, there is nothing that God is not able to do, but you've got to find the promise in the Word of God, and then you've got to appropriate that promise to yourself, and then you've got to make it real between you and God. So do you know what God's good pleasure is concerning you? And do you know what the promise of God is for you? In Luke chapter 12, it's like the passage in Matthew in regard to the Beatitudes. And he's saying, don't be worried about your money and about what you have and where you live and how you dress and all of that. Don't be worried about those things, because those are the things the Gentiles are all focused on. He said, but all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. God's not against you having those things. He knows that you need those things. He just wants your priorities to be right. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give you out of his storehouse. God wants to give you out of the promises of his word. God wants to open up the promise and the potential of the word of God in your life. Does anybody believe this tonight? God is looking all over the world. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord are to and fro in the earth, and he's looking to show himself strong for somebody that'll lay claim to the promise of God. And so he said, here's your key. First, seek the kingdom of God. And if you do that, then all these other things will be added to you. Now, is there anybody here right now, you've been pressing into the kingdom of God, and you notice other things just start falling in line? Is there anybody here that's just been opening up the plan of God and walking it out in your life, and you're watching God check all the boxes and take care of all the problems and all the things that other people are struggling with? You're walking along, and God's continually blessing you. Is there anybody here that's blessed tonight? Anybody here that God's opened up the windows of heaven? He's pouring out goodness and blessing on you. That's what he said. He said, you seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Don't be afraid, little flock of sheep, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So God has promised you the kingdom. His kingdom starts with the Holy Ghost inside, but the kingdom is a big, broad, expansive place with plans and developments that are beyond our understanding and our comprehension. So step one, excuse me, humility. David goes in and sits before God, and he says, who am I? Who am I, oh God? All right, so right now, I want you to lift your hands, and I want you to have a prayer time of repentance and humility before God. I want you to just lift up your hands, and I want you to tell God all about it. God, I know I don't have any strength. I know that there's no good thing in me. Every good thing in my life comes from you, oh God. I am so glad to be a part of your kingdom tonight. Who am I that you've poured out favor on me? And who am I that you've poured out blessing on me? And who am I that you visit with me, and that you let us walk in your presence, and that you let us be a part of your people and your church? Who am I, oh God? That's right. Why don't you press into that a little bit and just move into a time of gratitude before God. Mighty God, you've been so good to me, and you've blessed me so much. You really ought to be lifting up your voice a little better in the midst of that. You really ought to be offering up some prayer to God. God, I don't know what you see in me, but I sure am glad that you're letting me be a part of it. I don't know how I got in, but I sure am glad you let me in. I don't know why you even care about me, but God, I'm so glad I was on your radar. I'm so glad, oh God, that you've let me come into the kingdom, and you've washed my sins away, and you fill me with the Holy Ghost, and you've written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I don't know why, but I sure am glad that you did. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Who am I, oh God, that you let me come in and worship you and praise you and lift up my voice before you? And so you've brought me into your kingdom. You've let me be a part of your people. You've promised me that you're going to give me your kingdom. And so now David repeats what God has promised him. This was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but you've spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O God? So he says, it's for your word's sake, for your name's sake, because you're great, O God. So I want you right now, the most pressing thing in your life, the thing that you need to most happen in your life right now, I want you to find in through the index of your experience with the word of God, I want you to find a word, a promise, a pledge from God, something that God has set solid in his word. And I want you to take it tonight, and I want you to repeat that promise to God. If you're sick, I want you to lift up some prayer, some scripture about healing. If you're in need, I want you to lift up some scripture about provision. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, I'm going to give you some scripture on that. But I want you to, and if you can't quote it, just paraphrase it. God, your word says that you are with me, and that you'll never leave me, and you'll never forsake me. God, your word says that you're going to lay your hand upon me, and you're going to keep me. I want you right now to begin to lift up the word of God against your need and against your circumstance and against the thing that has troubled you and the thing that is working against you right now. Does anybody have a promise? Does anybody have a word from God that you can utilize in regard to what's happening in your life right now? Make it real. Make it present. Make it personal right now. Mighty God, I want you to do the thing you've said in your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what David's doing here. He's reminding God of what he has said. And then he says, but rather seek you. And so for us, like we're not like David, and we're not in that place, and that promise is not specific to us. But in regard to the kingdom of God, when he says, seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you, that it takes great pleasure in giving you the kingdom, then I want you to just begin to tell God, God, you promised that you're going to give me the kingdom. And the kingdom is more. And I don't diminish the gospel. Baptism in Jesus' name, receiving the Holy Ghost, entrance into the kingdom of God is the greatest thing that ever happened to any one of us. But there's more to the kingdom than that. There's a whole life, and there's a range, and there's a depth to things that are in the kingdom of God. The Acts 2:38 message is the doorway. It's the way we come in the door. But God's got a lot more for you, and you don't want to stop, and I don't want you to stop, and you don't need to stop at Acts 2:38. You need to get on into the courts of what God has for you. So tonight, he's promised you that he wants to give you the kingdom. In step three, David said, now, Lord, there's the promise. Now I want you to do it. And now, O Lord God, the word that you've spoken concerning thy servant, concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. So here David gives us first humility, and then he reacts. He reiterates the promise. And now he says, now, God, what you've said in your word, now I want you to do it. Even so. Okay, so our prayer for this evening and for our purposes is, God, now give us the kingdom. Work your good pleasure in us, and let your name be magnified in us. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. So God has made us a promise here tonight. The kingdom of God, and there's so much about it, we can't deal with it all tonight, but God has promised you. If you're in the house tonight and you're struggling with anxiety, or you're struggling with pressure and stress, and you're really, I don't know if it's work or family or whatever, but hear the word of God tonight. This is a promise. And Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Somebody say, all right, take my yoke upon you. It's not a freelance, come any way you want. God has a definition for you. God has a structure and a framing for you. Take that yoke on your shoulder, and you're yoked together with him. You can't just go where you want to go. You're traveling with him now. But he said, if you'll do that, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And so we say, God, I don't know why you're so good to me. And I don't know why you've spoken to me. And I don't know why you've made this promise to me. But God, I'm going to praise you tonight. And I'm going to tell you, your word says I can have rest. Your word says I don't have to toss and turn all night. Your word says I don't have to be anxious and troubled and worried all day long. But your word says you'll give me rest. Now, God, I didn't say it. You said it. And Lord, it's not in my power. It's in your power. But tonight, oh God, I need rest in my heart, and I want somebody to, right now, if you've been troubled and you've been anxious and you've been worried and you've been frantic, I want you to take that word tonight, and I just want you to lift it up before God. Your word says, God, if I come to you and I take your yoke upon me, that you're going to give me rest in my soul. Now, God, your word says it. Now do it in this house tonight. Ha! Somebody give him praise. Somebody magnify him. Hallelujah. We're going to do two or three of these, but don't you be inhibited. If you've been troubled, you hadn't been troubled enough. Because if I were you and I were anxious and I were troubled, I'd have made my way right down to this altar, and I would have said, forget about them, God. But here I am, and you said it, and I'm your servant, and I want you to give me that peace, and I want you to give me that rest tonight, oh God. I want you to pour it out on me. Friend of mine, if you want to have a moment with God, we've got a moment to give you. If you want to have a moment with God, we've got some time to let you have an experience with God tonight. Come on. We're not just talking about this tonight, we're doing it. We're not just talking about this tonight, we're doing it. Give me two or three ladies. Give me two or three ladies right now. He's not the God of stress and anxiety. He's the God of peace and rest. He's not the God of trouble and pressure. He's the God of peace and rest. Tell him what he said in his word. Tell him what he said in his word. Remind him of what he said. And then begin to just tell him, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, mighty God. Yeah, there were some more that wanted to come. They wanted to come, but they were embarrassed about being troubled. But I'm telling you, being in the church is not being perfect. And being a part of the kingdom is not being perfect. But when trouble comes, you've got to utilize the word of God. It's not because of me, God. It's because you said it in your word. It's not because I'm good. It's because you said it in your word. Come on, if you're in the house tonight and you have active sin in your life, if you have something you can't get over and you want to do better but you can't, and you've been trying to stop but you can't, you've got active sin in your life, hear the word of the Lord. Come now. This is God talking to you, sinner. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God, I don't know why you're so good to me. God, I don't know why you're so merciful to me. But God, your word says, my scarlet sins can be made white. My sin can be washed away. God, I want you to do that in my life right now. Come on, if you got sin, active sin in your life, come on down in this altar. Just make some room. Make a way. Brother Sam, give us a little something here. Remind God of what he said in his word. Then ask him to go ahead and do it, God. If you're here and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, the word of God. The word of God says, what are you waiting for? Get up right now and get baptized. Have your sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord. If you're here tonight and you've never been down in the water in Jesus' name, I want you to come on down to this altar and we'll baptize you right now. We won't wait a minute. Brother Cliff will meet you back in the baptistry. He'll put you down in the water right now. But the first prayer you want to pray, God, you said it in your word. God, you said you'd wash my sins away. I don't know why you love me like you do, but God, I want you to do that right now. Let your word work in my life, in this house right now. Come on, we got people seeking the promise of God in the altar right now. Come on, church. You're praying with somebody, or you're talking in tongues, or you're making some noise. Let that Holy Ghost flow in your vessel right now. Somebody needs help. If you never received the Holy Ghost, it's God's good pleasure to give you the Holy Ghost right now. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? You can have the Holy Ghost tonight. Brother George, tell Henry he can have the Holy Ghost tonight. The Word of God says he can have the Holy Ghost tonight. God will give you the Holy Ghost tonight. All you got to do is lift up that promise and say, do it, God. Do what you said in your word. God's going to give Henry the Holy Ghost right now. Because he said he would. Because he said he would. And all we're doing is lifting up the word of God. Do what you said you'd do in your word, oh God. Do what you said you would do in your word, oh God. Shut the mouth of my enemy, oh God. Break the hand of the enemy, oh God. Pour out the Holy Ghost, oh God. Wash sins away in the house, oh God. You said it in your word. Do it tonight, mighty God. What did God promise you? Remind Him of it tonight. Lift it up before Him tonight. Come on. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. God will give you righteousness tonight. It's peace. God will give you peace tonight. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. God will give you joy and peace tonight. You don't have to leave the way you came.